Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Sistema full year 2017 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gianluca Garbi, CEO of Banca Sistema. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon to everybody. As usual, I will use the presentation that has been posted in our website. I'm here, as usual, with the investor relator and with the CFO. And I start with slide number two. I'm pleased to present for the eighth consecutive year since the inception of Banca Sistema, financial results showing a strong performance. In particular, the factoring turnover is up 37% on a year-on-year basis, with a strong growth during the first 9 months of 2017, and even a stronger growth in the last quarter of last year. 3 years since the first agreement with a bank was signed, the contribution of this agreement to turnover generation now stands at about 30% of the total turnover. Our growth is well above 2017 Italian factoring market growth, which stands of about 9%. I have very positive expectation for the next year in relation to the turnover generated for tax receivable following recent changes in the split payment mechanism to be extended to a wider set of businesses. CQS and CQP outstanding reach 500 million, which is up 88% versus 2016. Net interest income is 70.7 million, including 9.6 million generated by the update of the LPI accrual to better reflect the collection expectation, of which 3.7 million refer to previous year. In 2016, we had 5.7 million of LPI that are related, were related to 2015. Cost of funding is stable and loan loss provision lower on a year-on-year basis with a cost of risk which is equal to 33 basis points in 2017. Total operating costs are up 4% on a year-on-year basis, which are in line with our expectation. We see net income at 26.8 million, corresponding to a 22% of return on average equity, which becomes 19.5% if we exclude 3.7 million of accrued LPI that is not related to this year. The total funding remains well balanced between retail, which represents 49%, and wholesale, which is the remaining 51%. The liquidity coverage ratio and net stable funding ratio are above regulatory requirement. Common equity tier 1 and total capital ratio respectively are at 11.9% and 15.3%, well above regulatory requirement. The board of directors will also propose to the General Assembly a distribution of 0.086 euro per shares, which is up 13% compared to the previous year. The board also today had approved that has decided to approve the business plan before the next General Assembly. Now let me move to the next slide, number three, where I'm going more in details of some of the numbers. The factoring and CQS outstanding have registered on a year-on-year basis a strong increase. Our growth rate of factoring is due to 37% of increased turnover growth, which has been constant during the year with a spike in the last part of the year. The market environment has not changed and payment delay are consistent with our expected average collection period for factoring receivable. Healthcare obligor represent 12% of our outstanding at the end of the year. We're also pleased with the diversification we see in our businesses, thanks to the CQS turnover, and we expect to continue to buy portfolio from our originator also in 2018. We have today, at the end of last year, 500 million of CQS-CQP loan outstanding, of which 86% has a public administration risk profile. In 2017, we have purchased CQS-CQP loans for a total amount of 258 million. Moving to the next slide, number four, the full year 2017 net interest income is equal to 70.1 million and include 29.6 million of LPIs from legal action. Accrual rate of LPIs are on average 37% of the stock. The historical actual collection rate is above 80%. With regard to our strategy, we haven't changed our approach and we start accruing LPIs only when legal action starts. At the end of 2017, the LPI stock included in the accrual perimeters reached 92 million, up from 84 million of the previous year. The outstanding under legal action at the end of last year equals to 25% of the total outstanding. The total amount of LPIs, if we include the one that are not in legal action and may never move to legal action, unless needed, are equal to 197 million. Looking more in details at the income statement, the net interest income in the full year, as mentioned before, include 29.6 million, which were 19 million in 2016 of LPIs from legal action, of which 9.6 million LPIs accrual from the updated of accrual rate, and as I already mentioned, 3.7 are not related to the year. 11.9 million of LPIs is what we consider extra collection. 6.8 million were the one of 2016. The net interest income in 2017 has been influenced by higher contribution from the CQS loan product, 5.9 million on a year-on-year basis, lower contribution from SME portfolio that is in runoff and factoring, and at a lower extent by the cost of funding saving of 30 basis points, accounting the TLTRO 2, of which 0.3 million are related to the second half of 2016. Net commission are up 18% as a consequence of higher factoring turnover. Loan loss provision in 2017 is influenced by the first quarter 2017 factoring write-back cost of risk equal 33 basis points. Personal expenses reflect account growth, higher average salary, and a new non-competition agreement. 2017 net income equal to 26.8 million is higher than that of of 2016 stated the net income, which was equal to 25.3 million. The normalized net income was 26.4. Moving to slide number five, having a closer look at the balance sheet, as you can see, the total asset stands at almost 2.3 billion at the end of the year, which is 16% higher than the previous year. The government bond portfolio is equal to 363 million, which is lower than the last year, following the decrease of the available for sale component of the govies portfolio, not compensated by an equivalent increase of the held to maturities position in 2017. Loan to customer are up 37% on a year basis. Factoring receivable are up versus last year of 30% and are equal to 1.286 million thanks to the turnover in 2017. The CQP portfolio increased due to further loan purchase that has reached the 500 million. Due to banks are up versus the previous year, mainly due to higher interbanking funding with ECB funding stable versus the previous year. Due to customer are also stable versus 2017 year end, and due to the combined effect of the reduction of repo, which is minus 80 million, and an increase in current account of 73 million. Term deposit are stable versus the previous year. Debt security issued include 16.5 million of Tier 2 bond and 170 million of a senior unsecured bond that has been both issued in 2017. Moving to the P&L and turning at that point to slide number 6, the factoring profitability is stable. On the top left side, as usual, we show the trend of our expected target yield and the expected funding period. As you can see, the portfolio we are buying is based on the expectation of reasonably long funding duration. On the lower left side of this slide, you can see that the average gross yield recasted back for 2017 and 2016 using the same likes for likes approach of accrual as described earlier show what are the results. So the likes for likes, as you can see, is pretty stable in terms of yield. As a reminder, our yield is a combination of interest income and commission, even though in the P&L are reported in two different lines. On the right side, you can see the amount of LPI on an homogeneous basis using new accrual and also the extra collection of LPIs. Now, moving to the slide number 7. As you can see, the operating costs are up 4%, which are driven by personal expenses, represent 46% of total operating cost, with an increase from 15.2 million in 2016 to 17.6 million in 2017. Due to higher number of headcount and average increase of salary, as well as the cost of the new non-compete agreement signed in the first half of 2017, as I already mentioned before. Servicing costs are mainly relating to factoring and benefit from our internalization of the collection. Other costs include 0.8 million yearly ordinary contribution to the National Resolution Fund, in the first part of 2017, and 0.4 million for the deposit scheme in the last part of 2017. Other cost growth is mainly driven by IT expenses. The full year 2017 cost income equal to 46%. Moving to the next slide. Retail funding represent 49% of the total funds, was 51% in the previous year. Term deposit stock is stable on a quarter-on-quarter basis as well as on a year-on-year basis, with an average cost also stable both on a quarter-to-quarter basis as well as on a year-on-year basis. And 30% of term deposit more or less has been originated in Germany and partially in Austria. Current account stock is up on a year-on-year basis as well as on a quarter-on-quarter basis. In October 2017, as I already mentioned, we issue our first senior and secure public bond to institutional investor with a three-year maturity for a nominal amount of 170 million and a fixed rate and coupon at 175 basis points. The wholesale funding include the CQS securitization, which is called Quinto Sistema 2016, used as a collateral for ECB funding, and Quinto Sistema 2017, which is used as a collateral for repo with other financial intermediaries. Our LCR and net stable funding ratio are, as I mentioned, well above the regulatory requirements. Moving now to the slide number 9, the gross non-performing loan decrease on a quarter-on-quarter basis is mainly due to the past due reduction that more than compensate the increase of bad loan. Remember that past due is mainly due to factoring receivable versus public administration that for us is considered normal for the sector and does not represent an issue in terms of credit quality and probability of collection. Net bad loans represent 1.7% of total loans, which is stable. Gross bad loans slightly increase and on a quarter-on-quarter basis due to some deterioration of factoring position, mainly that are related to the municipality under distress procedure. The full year 2017 loan loss position is lower compared to the previous year and include the bad loan write backs that already mentioned on the first that happened on the first part of the year. Moving to the last slide, the Core Tier 1 ratio and total capital ratio at the end of December 2017 are respectively 11.9% and 15.3%, both slightly lower also on a quarter-by-quarter basis, but well above the regulatory requirement, as you can see in the bottom left of this slide. The Core Tier 1 ratio and total capital ratio on a quarter-to-quarter basis decrease is driven by an increase of RWA. The RWA are higher for the due to the component of CQS and CQP loan purchase, representing at the end of the period, together with SME portfolio, 35% of the total credit RWA. Let me add at this point that there are indications pointing at the fact that the regulator may reduce the RWA absorption starting from 2019 for the CQS and CQP, and this is driven by the observation that the product has a low level of default. The impact from IFRS 9 is negligible. And before, as already mentioned, the next AGM, we will present to the market our business plan for the next that will refer to the next 3 years. So thank you very much for your attention. Now I'm here to take any of your questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Luigi Tramontana of Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon and thanks for the presentation. I have the impression that you are remodeling your factoring activity with an enhanced focus on business borrowers compared to PA borrowers in the past. Am I correct? And if so, what are the margins that you are seeing in this segment compared to the PA? Do you see any significant increase in potential credit risk and therefore in capital absorption deriving from this activity? Second question on the CQS, for sure the reduction in RWA absorption will be positive for you. In the meantime, this year, do you expect to buy another 250, 260 million portfolios or more than that? Many thanks.
Okay, so thank you very much for your question. Vis-à-vis the type of obligor, technically is correct, your observation that may appear to become less public administration, but actually we are talking about entities that are all controlled or under regulatory framework of a public administration. So in that respect, the classification of non-public administration with an assortion of 100% of RWA doesn't have an impact in terms of risk factor, because we are talking about entities that are semi-public administration. It's a pure regulatory definition. Let me give an example, which is not one of our obligor, but it can become one of those obligor. For instance, if you take the Italian railway, Ferrovie dello Stato, technically they are a company that are non-public administration. Actually, is 100% owned by the Ministry of Economics, as you know. And so this can be one of those obligor where we consider the risk profile aligned with the risk profile of the public administration. Vis-à-vis the CQS CQP, we expect to continue to have an acquisition in line with the previous year. As a result of it, this will have an impact on the more capital absorption because of the product, with a potential even bigger upside in case we are positive about that, the change of RWA. So for the year, that is what we will expect to do. Consider that the increase of absorption doesn't necessarily mean, due to the product, an increase of risk, and that is exactly the reason why there are also discussion about change of RWA. The CQS CQP is a product that all as a whole market, as far as I know, they have a default rate of 27 basis points, so very, very low risk profile.
The next question is from Alberto Subert of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I have a couple of questions. The first one was about the pound broking business. I was wondering if you can give some more information about it and your idea of what you're going to do and play in this business. The second one will be around some cost indication. I had a higher cost expectation than actually what you reported, and I was wondering if we can expect some cost in line on what we saw in 2017, or if there are more changing of these kind of things. And the last question was about the small medium enterprise loans that you have in runoff, but actually I saw from the slide that you have around 19 million still as NPLs, and I was wondering if it's possible for you to sell it or if you are taking any action to dispose and run off this business sooner than what you planned before.
Okay, so about pawnbroking business, I think that the amount is that we have reached with the two branches that operated for one for about 9 months and the other for less than 6 months has reached 2 million. So we are still talking about a very small number with a gross yield of 14%. It continued to grow. So the portfolio and is the activity is in good track. We are opening a new branch in Naples and a new branch dedicated to this business in Palermo. The amount, in any case, will have a very small in this year negative, in the future year positive contribution to the P&L, unless there could be some extraordinary activity of acquisition that could happen and can come to the market. At that point in time, of course, we will look at very carefully. In terms of cost income, maybe I need to understand better the comparison, because I didn't fully understood the comparison when you say that is lower than what number? Is lower than your expectation or?
Lower than my expectation. So I was expecting around 11 million in the last quarter. Instead, you had 9.7.
I think that, well, first of all, I'm not 100% sure where your number are coming from, so I can comment my numbers. I think that probably there is a less than proportional increase of operational cost connected to the factoring activity, because the operational cost, one of the components that we put in the operational cost is the cost of collection. And the unit cost of collection is keep going down, because as more turnover we have, is less than proportionated. So probably the assumption that with an increase of turnover, there will be a less than proportionate increase of cost due to the collection, that I'm sure was in your projection, probably was underestimated, in a sense that the economy of scale is even higher, and the unit cost is going for collection is even more than proportionate. I think that is probably the difference. So with that in mind, looking at the future, the trend continue to remain with this ratio. In terms of more turnover, we'll have an increase of overall cost of operation, but certainly with the same level of proportion that we have today, unless we may even able to further exploit economy of scale with the collector. As you know, we pay the collector on a successful fee basis, and clearly the amount that we pay is related to the turnover, but there are some cap incentives, disincentives that play a role in the contract. About SME, so the SME portfolio is continue to be in runoff. Any position that we have put as a bad loan as a coverage ratio of provisioning of 100%. So when an SME, we decide to resolve the SME, we put we cover 100% of the amount, and we collect the insurance from the government. If there will be anybody with an interest, a clear interest to buy the portfolio, I will not rule it out. I will consider it. In the meantime, we are talking about a portfolio that we can easily manage. Bear in mind that the funding to the SME is mainly driven from GDP in nowadays, which is quite cheap. So when you look at the contribution margin, is still positive despite the default that were already envisaged since the beginning of this transaction. So currently we are at the market run at 27% of default. We are slightly below than that. So the fact that there are defaults was already embedded in the mechanism of the SME in the SME portfolio. I hope that I answer to all your questions.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Andrew Mitchell of Edison. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. Could I just ask about the chart at top left on slide 6, where you've got the days to expected collection and the target yield? Whereas in the last couple of quarters, you've got a fairly significant increase in the days, and although it's only one quarter, a sort of a noticeable tick down in the target yield. Is there, how should we interpret this?
Now, the, let me go back to the how this number should be read. When we mention about expected collection date and expected yield at the expected collection date, we exclude all the LPI that we may collect from that. We also exclude from the calculation the interest on the VAT receivable. In particular, when you look at the VAT receivable, the interest will come automatically, and we are talking about assets of 0% RWA, of we had some in the last quarter big ticket coming from this asset, so we had to in this big ticket the duration is longer, but the risk is the central government, and the, we were talking about no portfolio of 100 or 1,000 of invoices, but we're talking about one single request of a tax credit. That implies that from our operational cost associated to the asset, you have certainly a much lower allocation of cost. As a result, the gross yield for this type of ticket with the tax credit of a bigger size, of a big size, are in terms of gross margin are lower. In terms of contribution to the P&L, are absolutely in line with the net contribution that we expect from the asset class. So when you look at the last quarter of the year, you have to consider that there are these this type of assets. And 2000, the expected duration of that went up is mainly driven by this type of tax receivable portfolio.
Okay. And the chart below, how does the tax receivables play into the 7.9 and the other figures there?
Well, we consider all the factoring together, but this is the number of a P&L. So while the above number is the expected yield when at the end of the process of collection, the below number are the accrual on actual basis. So the expectation of the price yield include only the discount for the period of time. When you move to the below slide, at that point you include the LPI, you include the fact that you may be able to collect faster than expected. So when you collect faster, the yield goes up. So you have all these components. We have collection, actual collection of LPI. So when a court case gets to the end, you collect for the period the LPI, and that amount, the net of the accrual, so what we call the extra collection, goes to the P&L exactly at that point in time. So on this line, you have on an actual basis, P&L basis, what are the impact of all the components. Now, the component can stem from historical reason, because there are LPI coming from history that has been collected at that point in time, or may come from a receivable that has been collected faster than expected. Maybe has been purchased on the same year, with expected collection of 12 months, and we collected in 6 months. All that contribute to the actual P&L. So the two piece of this graph, above you may see and you may read the trend coming of the future, just to give you the idea of what portfolio we are buying, which is the duration and so on. On the bottom, you have actual P&L interest of the specific period.
Great, thanks very much.
The next question is from Julian Roberts of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, sorry, actually my question has just been answered. Thank you.
Okay. Maybe only on this point, let me add something that I already mentioned in my presentation. The accrual today of LPI is 29 million, more or less. The accrual of LPI in legal action is 33 million. The underlying LPI as at the end of the year, so excluding future accrual, is 92 million. So you have 60 million of LPI of receivable already in legal action that will be collected in the next years, full or power, maybe slightly less, but we are experiencing 80% of more than 80% of collection rate, and this will enter into the balance sheet in the P&L in the next year, either on a cash basis or on accrual basis. So this is what you have underneath of the balance sheet, and it's only a question of time, and this will move up to the balance sheet. This, as I said, 92 million is as of the end of 2017. Does include the future, which keep going up. Okay? So, is there any other question?
There is another question. It's a follow-up from Alberto Subert of Intermonte.
Yeah, I just want to ask you, you started to buy CQS 3 years ago in 2014, and I expect now you start to have some portfolio that's ending. Can you give us a guideline of how much of the CQS outstanding will be collected or terminated by 2018 end?
It's a very slow amount because we started to buy fresh CQS with an average with a contractual duration of 9.1 year. So you know that a half of the period people can have an early redemption, but we are still too early to see an effect in 2018. So it's a very small amount. Which I don't have with me, but we can follow up, of what is going to be potentially renegotiated in 2018. That majority goes beyond, cannot be renegotiated before in 2018, has to be longer term. The contractual average contractual obligation that we have is 9.2 years.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Garbi, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, so thank you very much, everybody, and let's talk at the next conference call. Bye.